You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
For a cinematic moment in international news, on the 25th of November 2019, in the German city of Dresden, a power box was set on fire. In the midst of a power outage, a group of people cut through iron bars in the window of the Green Vault Museum within the Dresden Castle. They axed a display case and stole three 18th century diamond sets consisting of 37 diamonds, rubies, emeralds, and sapphires. The time the entire operation took? 5 minutes. The loss? Priceless. But speculated by the media to be around $1 billion, which would make it the largest art heist in history. The Green Vault has been targeted before, bombed during World War II, and confiscated by the Red Army, and later transported to the Soviet Union. The room was built by Augustus the Strong in the Baroque period, and was meant to make Dresden a hub of arts and culture to rival the city of Florence. The Dresden art heist is big enough to rival the mass Nazi art thefts and the thefts of colonization. But have the motives for art crime changed, or have they stayed the same? I talked about the nature of art heists with Dr. Ngarino Ellis from the University of Auckland Art History Department. She is a history in the law profession and is a member of the Art Crime Research Trust. I started by asking, is it really that easy to pull off an art heist in 5 minutes?
It's a lot more complex. It seems like 5 minutes, but those 5 minutes are the result of probably many weeks, if not months, of planning. The fire that was meant to have happened was not accidental. It was deliberately lit, I would say, knowing the history of art heists. And while they might just be in there, this is in general for art heists, while they might only be in there for a few minutes, there's so much planning that's been going on for months and months, typically, especially with the amount of money that you're talking about in terms of what was taken.
So the estimated loss is $1 billion, and also been described as priceless. So how can art be priceless? What do they mean by cultural loss when they talk about art crime?
When you talk about cultural loss, you're talking about cultural heritage. So in different cultures, we will have different things, different treasures that bring us together and are key kind of icons of us as a culture. And many of them are priceless. In terms of a monetary value, we only know really what something is worth if it goes through the auction market, because that's the most visible type of market that we can see. And so usually if they're looking at it, there might be no other diamond like that in the world. And in doing so, it is priceless. The Mona Lisa, they say, is priceless, but actually you can put a figure on how much she's worth. Don't ask me what that is. But everyone, all these treasures have a price, but some things are priceless. So for us, in terms of Māori culture, we would have some of our carvings, some of our taonga, which are ancestral and have names and go right back hundreds of years. Those are priceless because they are irreplaceable.
So who is going to buy this stuff knowing that it's been so wrongly taken and knowing that it's so famous? So where is this going to get sold?
You're presuming that it will be sold.
Yes,
and
yeah.
Many of the art heists are done for a whole range of reasons. So some of them are done by everyday thieves who might be, you know, doing a house and then see a work, and they might know the work because of media coverage of the artist or so forth, and they might take it as part of just what they're collecting along with the family jewels and so forth. Some of them are taken for collateral, so for drugs or for other kind of black market dealings, and they can be part of a package deal. Some of them are taken by, and we've got cases for all of these, by people who just like the art. They never intend ever to sell it because they just want to look at the piece of art and enjoy it for their own personal kind of gallery. And it's never ever intended for them to be sold. And we only discover these kinds of cases when they die and people go into their houses and they go, well, hang on, we didn't realize Uncle had all of this.
Yeah, it's true. So why do people buy art just to lock it away in a basement somewhere? What's the meaning behind that?
That's a million-dollar question, and that's why we teach art history. Yeah. We talk about the appreciation of art and the way in which art can transform our understandings of history and culture, our own identity, the world around us. We're living in an increasingly visual world if we think about Snapchat and Instagram. And so I suspect we always were highly visual, but it's become even more so with digital media, with the ways in which images are sent around the world, and so many of them are circulating. So we're probably more visual than we ever have been. And art history is a really good way of trying to understand why this is so, what kind of artworks really make us think and take a deep breath and can be transformative. If you're standing in front of a work and it just can change your whole outlook on life, it sounds impossible, but I just ask lots of people who study art history or who do go into galleries and they look at a work and they go, wow, that's just takes your breath away.
I guess that's right. It's true. But it's still unfair. They're just locking it in basements. Yeah.
Well, there's not. I wouldn't say that there's millions of them, but some people just want it for private enjoyment, and they know that they probably can never afford the £300 million price tag.
Yeah.
So the only way that they're going to get it is if they can sneak it out of a gallery.
Yeah, that's true. So this heist has been speculated by the media on being the biggest heist since the massive art thefts of the Nazi regime and colonialism. Does this heist link to art heists of the past, or does it exist in a modern context?
Well, I suppose you can look at it in terms of the modus operandi, so the ways in which the thieves did their work. And so they would have cased the joint, they would have known about what was there, they would have done their research in terms of not only how much the works would be worth, but what kind of market might be around for it. And some of them will sit on that kind of theft and the works there for a couple of decades. And so there are really strong parallels. I mean, an art theft is an art theft if we go back 2,000 years or if we go back, you know, just a week. They're very similar in terms of the people who are involved, in terms of what they're stealing, and also the ways in which they're doing it.
So I have another million-dollar question. Is art crime an assertion of power, or is it all just for money?
Absolutely an assertion of power. If we go back, as you mentioned, the Nazi regime, it was absolutely Hitler's assertion of power that he could have control over art. And by art, he's looking at the identity of the countries in which he was taking over. And so if we look at specific artworks that he was acquiring for his personal collection or for the museum that he designed in Linz in Austria, it was very much so, I'm going to take this. You have no control over what I take, where I put it. And it's very much ego-driven for many of them.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.